Formosa Files is sponsored by the Frank C. Chen Cultural Foundation. Frank Chen, Chen Qichuan, served as the mayor of Kaohsiung City from 1960 to 1968 and founded the Kaohsiung Medical College.
Formosa Files.
Hi, Ken.
Huh?
Hi, Ken?
Hi, Barbie? How am I supposed to respond? Oh, wait, I know. Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
No. I say, hi, Ken, and then you say, hi, Ken. Hi, Ken, and then you respond again, hi, Ken. It's very lucky we don't have video, or listeners would be able to see John's hand action, rude hand action. Okay, at Formosa Files, we usually try to avoid modern pop culture because, you know, after all, we are a history podcast. And there's the small matter of my co-host being very old-fashioned.
Thank you.
But today we're going to look at the story of Barbie. The Barbie doll has been very much in the news with the spectacular worldwide success of the Barbie movie, billion-dollar movie. And there's an interesting Taiwan story behind the Barbie doll. So, John, you have not seen the movie yet, have you?
No, I haven't. What's with the yet? I'm a 55-year-old man and an old-fashioned one. But, Eric, I know you've seen the movie because you ordered the code red. I mean, the code pink.
The code pink?
The idea to do a Formosa Files episode on Barbie.
Okay.
But answer the question, did you order the code pink?
You're getting your movies very mixed up, but I'll respond with, you're damn right I did and you can't handle the truth. But yes, I did in fact take a bullet for the Formosa Files team and I saw the film. I took my daughters and...
Did you enjoy it?
Let's say I enjoyed much of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all
and?
I have.
Anyway, Barbie was made in Taiwan back in the day, from 1967 to 1987. The reason we're talking about Barbie dolls is because from 1967 to 1987, Taiwan was home to the flagship factory of Mattel and was producing Barbie dolls for the world.
That factory was joined by other factories, and they were all in the township that's currently a new Taipei City district called Taishan, about 7 kilometers west of the Taipei main station as the crow flies.
This small Taishan township produced more than half of the world's Barbie dolls.
Yeah, amazing. But we should go back a little and perhaps tell the origin story of Barbie. So, she came from a distant planet called Krypton, and,
No, from California. The first Barbie doll came out in 1959, the creation of an American woman called Ruth Handler. She and her husband had founded the toy company Mattel, Incorporated. And inspiration for the iconic doll came from observing her daughter Barbara playing with paper dolls and, yeah, playing as if her little friends were adults.
So the daughter is playing with quite, I guess you would say, rudimentary paper dolls, just two-dimensional flat paper cutouts. But she's playing with them and imagining that these dolls are adults, not kids or especially not babies.
Right.
So Ruth Handler became determined to make an adult doll for girls and to make a good quality one. A three-dimensional doll.
Yes. Dolls at that time, paper ones or traditional dolls, were limited to baby or childlike representations. So Barbie was quite revolutionary.
Yeah, they point this out in the film, actually. And from these relatively simple ideas was created the plastic princess, who became a cultural icon, and the world's most popular fashion doll.
And the daughter's name, Barbara. That, of course, became Barbie.
Yeah, probably a good choice. It's a more catchy name than Barbara, isn't it? Barbie is better.
Mm-hmm, yes. Barbara sounds too much like barbarian. But anyway, okay. Yeah. She actually wanted to use her daughter's nickname of Babs. But thankfully, that name was already copyrighted, as was Barbara.
Anyway, Ruth Handler had this great idea, which no one else thinks is a great idea, and she spends years turning that vision into a physical toy. From early on, she was determined to have a high-quality doll with high-quality clothes and accessories. That meant these toys were going to be very labor-intensive and therefore very expensive.
Yeah, too expensive for high American labor costs, and the first dolls were developed and manufactured in Japanese factories.
As costs rose in Japan, however, production was moved to a couple other places in Asia, but most importantly, Taiwan.
Mattel partnered with a Taiwan company, China General Plastics Corporation, or Huaxia. They partnered with them to manufacture toys at a plastic factory in Taishan, a small town just outside of Taipei. And the success of Barbie in this factory was such that three more factories were opened nearby. And by the early 1980s, they're employing 8,000 people, I think. These four factories producing, like we said before, at least half of the world's supply of Barbie dolls.
And the factories got some help. There was a lot of piece work, too. You know, surplus work that was subcontracted out to smaller factories or workshops or just people at home.
The local outsourcing aspect, yeah, it was a big part of manufacturing at the time.
In homes around Taiwan, you'd find rooms full of Christmas decorations, plastic flowers, and Barbie clothes and Barbie heads. Back then, the government had a slogan, living rooms as factories. Chinese, I think that would be. They wanted to increase married women's labor force participation, and they thought the best way of doing that would be, you know, working from home.
Yeah, working at home allowed some flexibility, like taking care of kids at the same time. But being an official employee of the Mattel factories, that was much more desirable.
And they treated their full-time employees very well. Much higher than usual wages, there were meals supplied, and even free accommodation in some cases. The company organized fun activities like parties, there were various clubs, there were even educational classes, like free language classes, and even math.
And when it all ended in 1987, it was wrapped up in a good way.
Yes, the company didn't just pull out overnight.
Yeah, you sometimes hear those stories of workers turning up at padlocked gates, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway, they told the workers in 1984 that the factory would move its operations to Indonesia and China, and this would happen in 3 years' time.
Yeah, that was very nice of them. It gave people, you know, gave the workers time to plan ahead.
Yeah, and the union negotiated a severance fee. Each worker received between 100 and 200,000 NT dollars. A lot of money, yeah?
Yes, especially at that time. So let's take a wider look at the economic background to how Barbie manufacturing here in those two decades, so 1967 to 1987, how it fits into the economic story of Taiwan. That time period is pretty much a perfect fit for Taiwan's economic miracle, a time when economic growth was about 9% a year. So Barbie's beginnings in 1967 mark sort of a transition of economic policy. The manufacturing in the early days in Taiwan was not really for export. It was for daily necessities for the local population.
Yes, the government wanted as few imports as possible and was pushing import substitution. And Taiwan was very much a protected market.
But in the 1960s, the economy switched to an export focus, and that came alongside a shift from agriculture to manufacturing.
And there was a boost from the Japanese economic miracle. It spilled over into Taiwan. Japan is very much an untold story of how Taiwan came back from a pretty low economic situation.
And Taiwanese still commonly spoke Japanese back then. I mean, not the young factory workers, but anyone who's like a manager or senior engineer.
Right. It's no accident that Mattel moved production from Japan to Taiwan. That was a trend for both American companies and Japanese ones.
Which makes sense, right? You get your branch factory in a former colony.
Yeah, lots of companies did that. Familiar names like Hitachi, Panasonic, Casio. They outsourced work to Taiwanese companies, provided machinery and training. And in the late 1960s, Taiwan was the largest recipient of Japanese foreign investment.
Yes, and that story is kind of repeated 2 decades later with the factories moving, this time from Taiwan to China, but not just for cheaper labor.
Right, so Taiwan had higher labor costs, but other costs had risen too, and there were more regulations, and the Taiwan currency was stronger than it had been.
Barbie left, and a chapter of Taiwan's economic history ended. It was goodbye Barbie and hello computer chip. TSMC, the world's greatest computer chip maker, was founded the same year that Barbie exited, 1987.
Yeah, so on the surface, the Taiwan Barbie story ends in 1987, but that's not quite true. The cheap labor aspect, yes, but Taiwan has been involved indirectly and in a big way since then. I don't know if the following information still applies, but as of a dozen years ago, it was like this. Formosa Plastics, the world's largest producer of polyvinyl chloride, or PVC, processes refined petroleum from Saudi Arabia into PVC pellets, which are sent to factories to be molded into Barbie bodies. These are factories in China. And some materials like nylon and synthetic fiber that are used for Barbies here, also from Taiwan. Likewise, the fabric for Barbie's outfits from Taiwan.
So the hair and fabric still coming from Taiwan for a while. Changing subjects a little, John, what were some of the toys you played with when you were a young boy?
Marbles, board games, toy guns and other weapons, model cars, model ships, and toy soldiers. World War II soldiers. Oh, they were great.
Okay. So when you were reenacting World War II, which side were you on and which side usually won?
Huh, you asked that question because you know the dilemma, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're playing with World War II, toy soldiers is always the problem. What side do you play with? You want the Allies to win, right? They're the good guys. But the German soldiers have such good uniforms and some of their weapons are really nice. Yeah. Oh. Their high leather boots to die for.
Yeah, some of their most evil people were very well dressed. You have quite an interest in fashion, evidently. Are you sure you've never played with a Barbie doll?
Never said I didn't, did I? When you have an older sister, you get drawn into various activities. Yeah, I had a Ken doll and played with my sister and her Barbies.
All of those would be made in Taiwan toys.
Yes. One of the things I recall is how well made they were. The dolls themselves, good quality, very durable, never broke. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, they may have been durable, but I found ways of breaking them when I was a kid. I'm recalling my youthful mistreating Barbie dolls.
So where was I?
You were saying the Ken and Barbie dolls were well made.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and accessories and clothes were really well made too. You know, little jackets with zips that worked, tiny buttons, and so on.
That quality, however, was at odds with the general reputation of made-in-Taiwan products at that time.
Yep, and even years later when Taiwan had left cheap manufacturing behind.
Yeah, there are some big Hollywood movies which had references to made-in-Taiwan, and these are not flattering references. So I can think of one. There's a scene in Fatal Attraction, a movie from 1987. It's raining, right? And Michael Douglas's character is on a Manhattan sidewalk and he's struggling to open an umbrella. And when he finally does, it flips inside out. And then the actress Glenn Close sees him and approaches and says, "Is it made in Taiwan?"
A Taiwanese-American organization actually complained. They wrote to Michael Douglas. He wrote back apologizing.
Oh, yeah, another one. Another made-in-Taiwan moment was in the movie Armageddon from 1998. There's a Russian cosmonaut up on the International Space Station, I think. He's having like a mental breakdown trying to fix equipment, and he shouts something like, "Components! American components! Russian components! All made in Taiwan!"
Well, speaking of cosmonauts or astronauts, in the animation Toy Story, that's back in 1995, the character Buzz Lightyear finds out with some disappointment that he was made in Taiwan.
I've actually read that one of the Toy Story sequel ideas was to have all the toys like head back to Taiwan, you know, go back to your creator kind of thing. It never made it to the screen, but there are some great development pictures of Woody and other toys in Taipei that you can find if you search the internet.
Yeah, when kids were watching Toy Story, almost all plastic toy manufacturing had already moved across the strait to China. So a dated reference.
Right. What do you think the issue was? They just hadn't gotten around to realizing that things had changed yet?
Yeah, there's always a lag in reality and people's perceptions of things.
So yeah, that Toy Story is history, but you can revisit the history of it at a museum in Taiwan. In 2004, a small Barbie doll museum was opened in Taishan, the suburb where Mattel had Barbie doll factories. So, John, have you been to that museum?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither. It's not exactly convenient for either of us being in the south of Taiwan. So we sent our northern Formosa Files researcher to investigate, and...
Wait, we did what?
No. But I did check the travel website TripAdvisor for some reviews of the museum. I found three reviews from a few years back. 2 4-star reviews and 1 5-star review. One person mentioned the volunteer guides, former factory workers, actually, and noted that they were very kind and professional and even were willing to share personal stories. And here's one that's more detailed from an American visitor who went there in 2015. Quote, "When you enter the building, go to the 4th floor via stairs or elevator. You will need to remove your shoes and leave them at the entrance. Slippers are provided to wear in the museum. A community volunteer gave me a fully guided tour and remained so incredibly proud of the factory," end quote.
Was that tour in Chinese?
Yeah. And that review mentions the signage and exhibit descriptions being almost all in Chinese. So hopefully they've improved that and added some English.
3 reviews on TripAdvisor. Not that many, is it?
No. And it is a small museum, only a few rooms. And one reviewer said it took about 25 minutes to look at everything. There's no entrance fee and photography is not allowed in the museum. So those reviews don't have any pictures that we can, you know, make any judgments based on.
So quite an obscure small museum, important for the locals in Taishan, but Barbie was never that big a toy here in Taiwan.
Right. Barbie dolls, despite being made here, have never really been that big in Taiwan. They were too expensive for a start, and it wasn't until 1982, actually, that Barbie dolls were sold here. Of course, in Taiwan, back then, there were plenty of cheap paper dolls. But taking a broader look at children's toys, what were kids playing with before the arrival of plastic? Taiwanese kids back then.
There were battle cards. These are round-shaped cards with pictures on them. Players would throw and try to flip their opponent's cards. Originally, children made them by flattening bottle caps, but later these were commercially produced using cardboard. Yeah, and they were printed with images on them.
So kids making their own toys originally. I like that. And a matter of necessity before the days of plastic and battery-powered toys.
And before they had any money to buy them.
So kids would play with rocks, pieces of wood, things lying around. I remember back when I was 10, 11, just grabbing a stick and a stone, and that was baseball.
Spinning tops. Spinning tops were popular, homemade ones or manufactured ones. And boys being boys, always creative in making weapons, slingshots, bamboo blowpipes, swords, and on and on.
Yep. I'm also remembering a frog sort of thing that has a wooden back and you rake a wooden thing over it and it kind of sounds like a frog. And then there's other things that make noise when you spin them around. And then there was those old wheels or metal hoops from barrels. You know, kids would use a stick and keep them rolling.
Yep. For something a little more sophisticated, there's a ball catching game. There's a handle with 2 cups and a ball attached by a string. It's called a kendama.
Ken.
Ken.
Well, actually, kendama is Japanese, right? It came from Japan. The name in Taiwan is ryecho, or sun moon ball. And like you said, it has 2 wooden cups on opposite sides of a wooden handle. I think the two cups are actually different sizes. One is bigger, easier to get. The other one is smaller. Mm-hmm. And at the top of the handle, there's this like spike. So the player tosses the ball upward and then tries to catch it on one of the cups or on the spike.
Kids still play with that now. And there's a Chinese yo-yo, also known as a, what is it?
Diablo?
Diablo, yeah. Mm. So it's a juggling apparatus. The player holds two sticks connected with a string and manipulates the string to make the yo-yo part move. I've never played with it. Have you?
Yes. My younger daughter is quite good at it, and she tried to teach me, and I failed miserably. In any case, those Taiwanese workers at the Mattel factory in Taipei had likely grown up without any dolls like Barbie, and it would be a while before they would see a doll that looked like them. What I mean by that is an Asian Barbie.
Mm, indeed, but there was a black Barbie way back in 1968. It's just 9 years after Barbie's invention and at a time of civil rights unrest.
Okay, well, sorry to correct you on this, and also sorry for making it seem like I'm some sort of maniac Barbie doll collector.
Give me Barbie or give me death.
Okay. That 1968 doll that you're referring to that had more pigmented skin, actually, that was Christy, one of Barbie's friends.
So not an actual Barbie.
Yeah, it wasn't until 1980 that Mattel released its first black Barbie. She was dressed in a red disco jumpsuit and came with the tagline, "She's black, she's beautiful, she's dynamite."
Okay. Right, I'm looking at a picture on my screen. It's the first Asian doll in the Barbie universe, released in 1981 under the name, get ready for it, Oriental Barbie Doll.
Oriental Barbie Doll. That name has not aged very well.
I've given you the link to a picture of the box, and there's a pretty young woman doll in a yellow dress and red jacket, long black hair, of course. But a bit wavy, not that shiny straight hair we love. You know, the kind you can see your reflection in. Sorry.
Romantic, John.
While I steady myself, do you want to read the packaging?
Sure. The packaging on the front has the name that we just mentioned, Oriental Barbie. And then it says, "Hello, meet Barbie from Hong Kong and learn about the Orient." So Hong Kong at that time, of course, was a British colony.
Yes, and best to avoid mention of the PRC or ROC.
Okay, now I'm going to read from the back of the box, which says, "I am from Hong Kong, an island off mainland China. It is in the Orient or Far East, which includes countries such as Japan, Taiwan, Thailand, and Malaysia." Hey,
yay,
did they say
nice mention of Taiwan there, yeah?
And they called it a country.
A country, yes. Nice, very nice.
So continuing from the back of this Oriental Barbie box, it says, "Throughout the Orient, people shop at outdoor marketplaces where goods such as fish, vegetables, silk, and spices are openly displayed. In this part of the world, we eat rice with our meals, rather than bread or potatoes. We use chopsticks for eating, instead of knives and forks."
Okay, that's fine for kids. And in 1980, pretty accurate. Well, apart from the silk.
Yes. And then it says, "In the Orient, there are many temples which are called pagodas. You will recognize them by the way the roofs turn up at the corners."
Temples which are called pagodas.
That is not right.
Not right. I think we're all familiar with Chinese temples. Places of worship, obviously. A simple building or a complex structure. But, very notable, almost always a single-story rectangular building. But a pagoda is a tower, multi-story tower, and they're not rectangular. Japanese ones usually have four sides, Chinese ones have eight sides. And pagodas, although they have religious importance, they're not used for religious ceremonies as temples are.
So, continuing from the Barbie box, "Our harbor in Hong Kong is full of big Chinese fishing boats called junks. On land, you can travel through the streets in a rickshaw, a cart with two wheels, pulled by a rickshaw boy."
A rickshaw boy. I didn't find any of them the last time I was in Hong Kong. And that was a bit out of date even back in 1980.
Yeah, agreed. It goes on to say, "You will notice that many of the women in Hong Kong wear cheongsams, dresses like I am wearing. Chongzam, I guess that would be Cantonese, right? A long dress. Mm-hmm. And in Mandarin, where they're called qipao. Are they the same thing, though?
Yes, and no. The way the words are used today, yeah, same thing. But different origins. Qipao's from the north, Manchu clothing, a gown often paired with pants, and chongzam from the south. Both applied to gowns for men and women. Yeah, usage, the meanings of those words have changed over time.
Hmm. And the Barbie packaging blurb ends with this. Come visit the Orient. I know you will find it exotic and interesting. That might actually be a good place for us to end. Taiwan, exotic and interesting.
We don't have any rickshaw boys, though.
And not many of those chongzams or qipaos on display. And certainly no junks.
But we have a junk story lined up for next week. And it's an epic story of a traditional Chinese sailing vessel on the high seas.
Cool. So, John, anything we've forgotten to mention before we sign off?
Did I ever tell you that story about the paper dolls?
Remind me.
I was teaching a doctor, actually a surgeon, and one day he told me that when he was young, this is probably in the late 1960s, there had been a story of a possessed paper doll. And then like a contagion, like a virus, it spread. There apparently were paper dolls coming alive. And there was some kind of mass panic and people were burning their paper dolls. They're bonfires of paper dolls. Now, I've searched for that online. I've not found anything. So if any listeners have leads on that, get in touch.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we'll leave it right there. I'm Eric Michael Smith. Hi, Ken.
Bye, Ken.